Thank you very much. I call the meeting to order of May 13th Pension Commission meeting. This meeting is beginning. The remote control or the remote hearing is taking place in accordance to Legislative Coordinating Commission guidelines and is being streamed live on Facebook and YouTube. For procedural motions, non-controversial or technical amendments, we can take voice votes if there are no objections. Substantive amendments and final bill passage will require roll call votes. Members, please mute yourselves when you are not speaking. If you would like to be recognized by the chair, please email Chad Burkett or type recognize on the and type recognize on the subject line. If for some reason you do not get recognized using this approach, please unmute your phone and seek recognition. I will periodically ask Mr. Burkett if there are any member questions. Ms. Dieslin, would you begin by calling the roll, please?
Representative Murphy.
Present.
Representative Freiberg.
Present.
Representative Herr.
Present.
Representative Nelson.
Present.
Members, remember to unmute yourselves. Representative O'Driscoll. Representative O'Driscoll. Let me just check to see if he's in the waiting room. All right, Representative Richardson.
She's going to be tardy.
All right. Representative Vogel.
Present.
Senator James.
Present.
Senator Frenz.
Here.
Senator Jasinski.
Here.
Senator Limmer. Whoops.
Here.
He's here.
Got it. Thank you. Senator Pappas.
Here.
Senator Rosen.
Here.
Senator Senjum.
Here.
We have a quorum. Members, you may now mute your microphones.
Thank you very much. The 2020 Pension and Retirement Bill, House File 3903, Senate File 3808, in the form of Delete Everything Amendment, H3903DE1. This is the vehicle for the 2000 pension bill. I move that House File 3903, Senate File 3808 is going to be before the commission at this time. For first of all, we have Amendment 3903DE1. A delete everything amendment containing the language that we would like to pass today. The delete everything amendment of H3903DE1 contains legislation we have already heard and approved by the commission. We have all received the amendment, the summaries, and a number of other documents from Ms. Dieslin via email. They are also posted on the Pension Commission webpage. Mr. Burkett, will you give us a quick review of the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, members. H3903DE1 contains nine articles that are all of the bills that the commission heard at its March 3rd and March 10th meetings. With the exception of the para disability bill, which is House File 4298, Senate File 4203, and portions of the para privatization bill, which is House File 4300, Senate File 4201, that deal with withdrawal liability. Since holding those two meetings, we received a number of letters that are on your agenda under the documents section, and I'll just point out a couple of them. Two of them are letters from the PARA Executive Director, Doug Anderson. He requested removal of the provisions in the privatization bill and the disability bill. And then there's a few letters from interested parties, including a letter from the Minnesota Professional Firefighters regarding an objection to the disability provisions. The letters from PARA just note that they're aware that the provisions have become controversial and again request that they be removed. So those provisions and the bill are not in the 3903 DE1. I'll just go through the articles briefly, and if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at the end. Article 1 includes the State Board of Investment provisions. It adds three different types of investments to a list of investments that permits the SBI to invest in those. This was heard on the March 3rd meeting and was approved by the commission. Article 2 deals with an issue that came up last year related to multi-employer plans for the city of St. Paul. This was heard at the March 3rd meeting and passed by the commission. And it also contains two bills. So that's the one article that contains two bills. They both deal with that issue. Article 3 phases out enhanced augmentation under PARA when there's a medical facility privatizes. I referred to this one previously. It's the House File 4300 of 4201. The portions of that that deal with the withdrawal liability were removed. The portions that deal with augmentations are still in this delete everything amendment. Article 4 modifies, includes modifications to the state auditor's reporting requirement for pension plans. This is a fairly technical amendment, and it was passed by the commission at the March 3rd meeting. Article 5 is the Minnesota State Retirement System Administrative Provisions. This was heard by the commission at the March 3rd meeting and approved. Article 6 contains the PARA administrative provisions. This was heard at the March 10th meeting and approved. Article 7 contains the administrative changes to the PARA statewide volunteer firefighter plan, which was heard at the March 10th commission meeting and approved. Article 8 contains the administrative changes to the Teachers Retirement Association, heard at the March 10th commission meeting and approved. And the last article, Article 9, is a session law for one person. This was heard at the March 10th meeting. It deals with a Maplewood firefighter. That was heard and approved at the March 10th meeting. Madam Chair, I can turn it back over to you for questions.
Okay. Mr. Burkett, has anyone indicated that they have questions?
Madam Chair, I don't see any questions.
Or is there anyone from the waiting room or the public that are here are that have asked to be recognized?
Representative Murphy, we do have testifiers, but they are later on the agenda when we take up the firefighter amendment.
Thank you very much. So we will proceed then. If there's no further discussion on those issues, I lost my place on the annotated agenda. I'm sorry.
Representative Murphy, I think Senator Pappas has a question.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to know if you wanted someone to move the amendment into the bill. This is, these, all these provisions have been approved. You know, at previous meetings.
Yes.
Senator Pappas, there are amendments to the amendment.
Okay, so we want to do that first. Okay, thanks.
Okay. And Ms. Deason, where are we on? We're on page 2 of the agenda?
Correct. So we are, Mr. Burkett has reviewed the amendment, so yep. We will move on to the technical amendment, H3903-2A.
All right. Okay. There is a technical amendment. It's coded 3903-2A. Mr. Burkett.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. This is a technical amendment. It just makes some conforming changes, fixes some mistakes that were in the original bills. The only thing that looks somewhat substantive, it's really just a conforming change, is the first section in the amendment. Adds a new section to the bill that is a conforming change for that SBI, the State Board of Investment language. It just adds a missing reference.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
And that's in the 2A?
Yes.
Yes. Madam Chair?
I'd like to Senator Rosen.
Thank you. I'd like to move the 2A amendment, please.
All right. Does anyone object to a voice vote? Hearing no objections, all those in favor of the H3903-2A amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, the amendment is adopted. Ms. Linchesky.
Thank
We're
you,
going
Chair.
To move on to the firefighter provisions. Is that correct? Coded 39035A.
Thank you, Chair Murphy.
Coded 39035A. Ms. Lincheski, would
Thank
you please explain
Murphy.
The differences between the 4A amendment and the 5A amendment? And we will review and act on 5A?
Yes. Happy to go through the 5A amendment, Chair Murphy. Thank you. As explained in the summary and the section by section that we have provided, the 5A is a compilation of 8 bills related to the firefighter relief associations. None of these bills have been considered at this point by the commission. So this will be the first time that you've all heard about it, but I think many of these issues are very familiar to you. As we go through it, I will explain why we have a 5A rather than a 4A. Just as an overview on the issue, the Volunteer Firefighter Relief Associations pay a supplemental benefit of $1,000 to members who receive a pension payment. There is some provisions in the 4A that meant that there was a fiscal impact because it expanded the group of members that would receive this $1,000 supplemental benefit. There were 3 mentions of that in various places in the 4A. Those have been deleted from the 4A to create the 5A. As we go through the 5A, I will mention where the deletions are. The primary one being the last section of the 4A, which relates to the state auditor's bill. But there are 2 other mentions. The reason to do that is so that the bill has no fiscal impact and it can continue to the GovOps committee and then hopefully onto the floor. Article 10 is the first article in the 5A. That is proposes an increase in the maximum lump sum pension amount from $10,000, which is the current maximum in the statutes, to $15,000. And this is the amount by which each year of service is provided. So say in the case of a relief association that's paying a lump sum defined benefit plan benefit, the benefit, if they were at the maximum, it would be 10,000 times years of service, and that amount would be paid out in a lump sum. The increase here is from 10,000 to 15,000. It's explained in depth in the summary. The reason being that a number of the reliefs have substantial surpluses. They did at least before the pandemic. And the interest has been in increasing that maximum so that firefighters can get slightly increased benefits. Article 11 of the 5A amendment is the allocation of fire state aid general law. That's been discussed by the commission on a number of occasions. This results from the working group that met after the 2019 session. And the working group prepared a report which made a number of recommendations, one of which is that the law should be changed to allow for the sharing of state aid between the relief association and the municipality. So the Article 11 now puts that into law and allows for that to happen, but only where there is an agreement between the relief association and the municipality. There are two sections at the end of this article, one of which grandfathers, section 3 of Article 11, grandfathers existing fire state aid agreements, allocation agreements. One is with Hibbing and its municipality. The other is the Hibbing Relief and its municipality, and the other is the city of Austin. They have been allocating fire state aid between Austin and the fire relief for some time. So those two agreements are grandfathered. Section 4 of Article 11 allows the city of Eagan to allocate fire state aid. There's some dollar amounts provided in the summary, and the upshot, I believe, there is that the Eagan fire relief gets fairly substantial fire state aid payments, has only 30 volunteers right now, and is in this transition period. So they have put in place an agreement, and they would now like that agreement to be able to take effect. So the Section 4 of Article 11 permits that to happen.
And Ms. Lencheski, excuse me for interrupting, but we received a letter about that this morning. Is that correct?
Yes. And there will be some testimony on this as well, but we did receive a letter this morning from the president of the Eagan Firefighter Relief Association to Representative Halverson, who introduced the bill for Eagan in support of the sharing agreement that they have entered into already with their city.
Okay.
Moving on to Article 12.
Excuse me, before we move on, yeah. Are there any questions? Senator Sinjam?
If I could we go back to this Article 10 on the volunteer firefighter maximum lump sum payout? I just wanted to understand that. So we're moving from 10,000 to 15,000. So if, for instance, a firefighter had served 20 years as a volunteer, he or she would have a lump sum payout of 300,000, for instance. Is that, am I interpreting that correctly?
Ms. Lencheski.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. Yes, Senator Sinjam, that is correct. So the dollar amount, the lump sum amount, is multiplied by years of service to arrive at their retirement benefit. And that is available to them when they end service, as long as it's after age 50.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Burkett, has anyone else raised their hand?
Madam Chair, I do see a hand from Senator Pappas.
Senator Pappas?
No, I'm sorry, that's from before.
Oh, okay, thank you. Ms. Lincheski, will you begin again?
Thank you, Chair Murphy.
Continue on.
All right, moving on, Article 12 is the next article in the 5A. This deals with dissolutions of relief associations and the related termination of the retirement plan. This came out of a second work group.
And Ms. Lincheski, excuse me just a minute, that is the Nelson Rosen bill, 4107 for the House and Senate file 4123 for the Senate. Is that correct?
That is correct, Chair Murphy.
Thank you. Please begin.
Okay, thank you. So I so in the summary, there is a really section by section or subdivision by subdivision description of this bill. But in general, the bill allows it really replaces what is currently in the statutes as it relates to the dissolution of fire relief association. The work group that met after the 2019 session, excuse me, the 2018 session, looked at the issue because, again, of the issue with the surplus and what happens when an overfunded relief association dissolves and there is substantial surplus. Under current law, that surplus goes to the municipality. This has been an issue for some time with the reliefs. And there was interest then on the part of the commission to have a look at this, and they came up with the report and then now the proposed legislation. This has been reviewed by the work group and the stakeholders and has been found to be acceptable. It's a fairly involved article. It goes through a procedure for dissolving the relief. Some of the highlights, I guess, of that is that all members become fully vested. So most of the reliefs, in fact, I believe all of the reliefs have a vesting schedule that can run anywhere from 10 years to 20 years in order to become 100% vested. When a relief association terminates, the members all become fully vested. And then they are allowed to get an immediate distribution of their benefit, which is a change also from current law, which would require them to wait until they reach age 50. They can get a distribution, and that distribution can be rolled over into an IRA so they don't have current taxation if that's their choice. Another point I think to note is that the article changes the law as it relates to the disposition of this surplus. So one way that the fire relief can absorb some of that surplus and pay it out in benefits is it's able to increase the benefits under the relief association. And the increase is up to 125% of the maximum lump sum amount. So as we were just talking, under the changes proposed, that maximum would go up to $15,000 per year of service. If a relief association were dissolving and had substantial surplus, it could increase the benefits for the firefighters up to $18,750 times years of service in order to sort of eat up that surplus and pay it out in benefits. In addition, if there is any remaining service after the benefits have been increased, that remaining surplus is required to be paid to the municipality in reimbursement of required contributions that the municipality has made over the last 10 years. So that would be another payment that would be made out of that surplus if there is any remaining. At that point, if there's still surplus, the municipality and the fire relief are required to attempt to negotiate a sharing of that. After 180 days, no agreement is reached, the surplus is split 50-50 between the relief association and the municipality. I will note that subdivision 10 of the article addresses supplemental benefits. As I mentioned earlier at the start of the summary here, supplemental benefits are paid. It's $1,000 for each distribution to a member. The article would have provided that everybody's entitled to this supplemental benefit payment, even if they are not yet 50. That would be a change in the law, which would then cause the bill to have a fiscal impact. So the change that you will note in the article or in the 4A is to change the reference to all members getting the supplemental benefit to only members who are at least age 50. So that would be consistent with current law and there would be no additional expenditures.
All right.
That's the summary of that article.
Okay. And that's Article 12, is it right?
Yes.
I would like to announce that Senator Benson, Senator Carlson, Representative Halverson have joined the body of people that are here. And so welcome to the commission. And are there any questions of the commissioners on anything that Ms. Lincheski just explained? Representative Nelson, did you have your hand up? No, okay, no. No questions, Ms. Lincheski. We have some testifiers, is that correct?
Representative Murphy, that is correct. Let me get some of them in.
I think the first one is Ryan Rice.
Did you want to go through the entire the 5A before we start the testimony, or would you like to just take some testimony now?
Whichever makes the most sense. Do you want to finish the 5A first?
Yeah, I can go very quickly if you'd like.
No, I just want it to be organized and so that the people, we have reviewed the material before we have testifiers, but I thought we were at the bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3, but I might be mistaken of the annotated agenda.
Okay. Why don't I just finish off the 5A and then we'll go back and take the testimony if that's all right then with you, Chair Murphy?
That's absolutely fine with me.
Okay, I'll be a little quicker here. Article 13 relates to the Brooklyn Park Firefighters Relief Association, which is in the process of dissolving. In order to allow some of the details to happen, the legislation is required. This is Representative Nelson's bill. Also, Senator Hoffman introduced this in the Senate. It needed to be put into legislation because of certain changes that are still needed in the law. So, for instance, full vesting of the firefighters as well as immediate distributions. So this allows Brooklyn Park to go ahead with its dissolution and make those distributions, for instance, which are not currently permitted under applicable law. There is one technical change, and it's, I guess, substantive, in fact, when we look at the impact on the firefighters, but there are supplemental plan benefits here as well, and paragraph F of the bill would have paid the supplemental $1,000 benefits to all volunteer firefighters who receive a distribution, but in order to remove the fiscal impact from this bill, we have changed the reference to every volunteer firefighter to any volunteer firefighter who is at least age 50, similar to the other change that I mentioned earlier. So as long as they're at least age 50, that is what current law provides. So it would not go to all volunteer firefighters who receive a distribution, but only those over age 50.
Okay. Ms. Lanchesi, and that's in paragraph F. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And the change is who are at least 50 years of age?
Correct. And it's line 27.11 in the 5A.
Okay.
Article 14 relates to the Ramsey Volunteer Firefighters Relief Association. The City of Ramsey and the City of Nalvim have been in a joint powers agreement to provide firefighting services to their communities. They have decided to terminate their joint powers agreement, which means that the Nalvim firefighters would like to have their benefits that are in the Ramsey relief transferred out to a new relief that Nalvim intends to form. There's still some question as to whether Nalvim will form a new relief or whether it'll enter into a different joint powers agreement. But what is happening here is that this defined contribution plan relief association will now be transferring out accounts related to the Nalvim firefighters to a new trust, a new relief association, so that the Nalvim firefighters will then have benefits that are affiliated with the Nalvim city. So again, current law does not provide for this, so we have put in the legislation here. This is Senator Benson's bill, and I believe she is here to talk about that as soon as I get through the summary. Moving on very quickly here, Article 15 is another recommendation of the Work Group on Conversions and Dissolutions. This deals with conversions. So this is conversions of a defined benefit relief to a defined contribution. Currently, the law does not provide for that. So this is a procedure that will allow them to make that conversion. It's a very technical amendment and really just puts in place procedures. It also allows for the surplus in a defined benefit plan to be allocated among firefighter accounts when they convert to a defined contribution plan. The final article is the State Auditor's Volunteer Firefighter Working Group recommended legislation. I believe we will have some testimony on that from the State Auditor. But those changes are fairly technical as well. The one change that I will note again relates to the supplemental benefit payments. That is section 8 of the 4A, which has been removed for the 5A amendment. And that again is because it does have a fiscal impact. The change there was to apply the $1,000 limit to each distribution. And the question had been whether a firefighter who gets a distribution from two reliefs is subject to one $1,000 limit, or whether each distribution is subject to a $1,000 limit. The change that the state auditor had proposed was to have two limits. But again, having two limits is a clarification of sort of an interpretation, and it does have a fiscal impact. So that has been removed from the bill. And that is the summary of the 5A amendment. Thank you.
Chair Murphy, would you rather have testimony first before moving the 5A?
I do.
Okay. Thank you.
I would. But what happened to Article 14? I mean, Article 16, Ms. Lincheski.
Article 16 is the state auditor's.
Okay. And she's going to testify, right?
Correct. I just noticed that she's joined the meeting.
All right. Yes, we will begin with testimony. Mr. Rice? Welcome to the commission.
Hold on a moment. I may need to unmute him. Sorry. This is all
this
a little bit.
This is the first time Brian Rice's mouth has been, been moving and nothing is being heard.
I apologize for any technical difficulties. This is a little bit new to me.
Welcome to the commission, Mr. Rice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's nice to hear your voice. My name is Brian Rice. I'm an attorney in Minneapolis. I'm here today on behalf of the Plymouth Volunteer Firefighters Relief Association. And let me thank the commission for considering at this late stage of the 2020 session some very, very important bills. This entire D5 amendment is a suite of bills to address the changing environment for volunteer firefighters, and they really fit together in a very important way. I'll be quick, Madam Chair. Article 10 is basically a bill that has been around the Pension Commission for at least 5 years, starting in 2016 and 2017. And it was pension bills that were vetoed by Governor Dayton. In 2018, you made some measures to address the Eden Prairie and Plymouth situations. Likewise, the fire state aid issue in Article 11 is an issue that the commission has wrestled with for a number of years, primarily with the city of Austin. And I think the commission found a path to deal with that. I would note, Madam Chair, in Article 11, this sharing of state aid only applies to the basic 2%. It does not apply to the supplemental aid that you and Senator Rosen, and when you were chair of the Pension Commission in 13, Senator Pappas provided additional funding of about $5 million. That money will stay going to just purely Relief Association volunteers, as will the money that was put in place back in the 1990s for the small relief associations. Article 12 on dissolution, this is really a very important provision. It's kind of the outgrowth of the whole Maplewood situation we had in 2018, as Executive Director Lincheski mentioned. Current law now creates a situation that potentially incentivizes cities to dissolve relief associations in order to get their assets. That, at least from my perspective in Maplewood, is what happened then. This would create a much fairer distribution of any surpluses that are there. It would also create a path to deal with this. We're seeing a number of dissolutions in relief associations, and the trouble we had with Maplewood, there was no clear path. I think Executive Director Lincheski and Mr. Burkhart, the Pension Commission staff, has done a really good job. There's lining this dissolution issue up with federal law and how you comply with federal law. It would do that clearly and unmistakably as you deal in the Brooklyn Center situation. And then the last article that I worked on was Article 15, the conversions from defined benefit to defined contribution plans. This is another very important provision that, again, will, I would argue, help the volunteers make sure that the funds that the legislature has directed through its fire state aid program goes to firefighters. Minnesota has long been on the got by in the cheap, quite frankly, with firefighting. We were 44th in the nation per capita on fire expenditures. Now we're 47th by the most recent report from the Center for Fiscal Integrity or Excellence. And so getting this, I think this is a really good set of bills that would get take care of these volunteer firefighters and address some really long simmering problems. And I just close by saying there are other provisions in this bill, and it's just illustrative of if this issue isn't addressed now, there's probably a half a dozen one-offs. Last year you dealt with Brevator Township and what happened when they dissolved. You've had Maplewood before you, Austin. You have Brooklyn Park, Egan. Now then, there's like over 700 of these relief associations. And if you don't address this now, you might have, instead of a half a dozen matters before the Pension Commission, you may be getting into the dozens or scores of them. So thank you for the opportunity to testify. It's a really good bill. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Rice, and thank you for your advocacy and your help in bringing the bill to understandability for the affected people within the bill. We appreciate that very much. Questions of Mr. Rice? If not, then Mr. Burkett, is any other members has indicated that they want to talk?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. Then next is Michael Wallstein from the Plymouth Fire Association. Mr. Wallstein.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Michael Wallstein. I'm a firefighter with the City of Plymouth. I'm a trustee for the Plymouth Fire Relief Association, and I was a member of the State Working Group on Fire Pension Conversions and Dissolutions. I'll be very brief. I'm here to speak in favor of this legislation. It's a byproduct of mutually agreed upon work to improve the pension system for our firefighters in our state. Our goal is to address the needs of a modern fire department, and we created a solution that benefits firefighters as well as the communities that we serve, which is good. And probably the best part, at no extra cost to our taxpayers. This legislation helps all of us, and it helps those that protect us. So I thank you for your hard work on our behalf. Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wallstein. Moving on. I welcome Ann Finn from the League of Minnesota Cities. Ms. Finn.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. I'm Ann Finn, and I represent the League of Minnesota Cities. Madam Chair, I want to thank you for considering the A5 amendment. Also want to thank your staff and Representative Nelson and Senator Rosen for their work in helping us kind of get to the finish line on this package. This amendment represents the work of dozens of stakeholders over many months. You heard Mr. Rice refer back to as far as 2018, and indeed these negotiations on these issues have been ongoing with stakeholders since at least that time. And although the recommendations came out of multiple working groups, they're very much intertwined, and the League supports them moving forward together as a package. Collectively, they recognize the changing nature of the fire service, where cities, municipalities really need some more flexibility with how they deliver fire service in their communities. The specific provisions we support are Article 11, which deals with the allocation of fire state aid and provides some flexibility so that fire state aid can be used in a combined model for contributions to fire relief accounts, as well as to para police and fire, where there are a combination of professional full-time firefighters and volunteers or paid on-call firefighters. And then secondly, we strongly support Article 12, which provides a path forward for situations where the municipality and the relief association decide to dissolve the relief association for purposes of providing fire service. That concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Murphy? Thank you, Chair Murphy. Because there are a number of legislators here, I think to speak on their bills that they have introduced, and they may have other meetings, could we interrupt the testimony from the public and other stakeholders in order to let the legislators speak? I see that Senator Benson's here, as well as Representative Halverson, Senator Carlson. They may have to depart for other meetings.
Are there bills in 5A?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, we can depart from the annotated agenda then.
Chair Murphy, if you will notice that—
Ms. Deason.
Thank you. Representative Halverson and Senator Carlson are both here. And if we do sort of follow the order of the amendment, they would be next, then followed by Senator Hoffman, Senator Benson. And I believe that's it.
All right, and Senator Carlson, are you the most senior? More senior than Senator Benson?
In all ways, Madam Chair, yes.
I don't think so. Senator Carlson, will you please address the commission?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. My only commitment here is that this is an amendment that is necessary, and it has been negotiated at length. And I believe we have our fire chief here, Chief Scott, to testify as well. And I just have to say that I'm throwing my full support into the not only our part of the amendment, but the entire amendment.
All right. Thank you, Senator Carlson. Representative Halverson, you're on Representative Carlson's. You're the other half, right?
Yes, Chair Murphy. My House File 2925 is part of Article 11, Section 4, I believe, which provides the City of Eagan the flexibility with their Relief Association funds. The Relief Association submitted a letter of support, and the City of Eagan is in full support as well. I believe that if Chief Scott is here, he could testify, but in interest of time, we also understand that you may just want us to stand for questions. I think Ms. Finn explained the situation very well, and Eagan is one of those cities that fits into the larger situation that she explained. So happy to answer any questions, but would appreciate your support for the City of Eagan and our Fire Relief Association. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Benson.
Madam Chair, I'm here to discuss the Now Then Ramsey Relief Association. I believe it's under Article 14, and it looks like the pension staff has done a good job of working out a solution. And I believe our Mayor Pilon had been invited, but I don't see him here, but I am prepared to talk through, and I apologize, members, I forgot to turn on my video. I am prepared to talk through the critical provisions in the bill and the reasons for including it.
All right, thank you. Ms. Dieslin, who do you have next then?
I believe, Chair Murphy, I believe that is all of the legislators who are here to speak to their bills. So we will revert to your agenda, and next on the list
Chief would- Scott.
Yes, hold just a moment and let me let him into the meeting.
Welcome, Chief Scott.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for your time. Is it my turn to testify? I'm sorry, I was just brought in.
Yes, it's your turn. You're on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry, I was in the waiting room. So thank you and your committee for the time today. I'm Mike Scott. I'm the Eagan Fire Chief. I've been with the city since 1983. So unlike Senator Carlson, I'm probably more senior than he as well. I appreciate your time this morning. The Eagan Fire Department's gone through a lot of changes. We're experiencing what many fire departments are experiencing around the country and throughout our state. We were once one of the largest paid on call or volunteer fire departments in the state. We had 120 volunteers. Today we're down below 30 volunteers, and we've started to transition to a career staff department. With the current state law with fire state aid, as long as we have a relief association, fire state aid has to go to the relief association. We're a defined benefit plan, and we have an agreement with our relief association of how much they get per year. If we had to give them the entire state aid this year, we'd overpay them by between $150,000 to $200,000, depending on how many more members leave this year from the volunteer ranks. Both the city and the Relief Association are in agreement that we want to be able to split the fire state aid, so pay our commitment to the Relief Association, and then use the remaining for our career staff PRA. We think it's pretty straightforward. There's no opposition within our city, and like I said, both sides support it. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but I sure appreciate your time this morning.
Is there any indication that there are questions, Mr. Burkett?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Apparently not, Mr. Scott.
Madam
Chair.
Thank
you for coming.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yes. So, is there, do we go now to the auditor?
Chair Murphy, if you would like to do that, you certainly may. If we follow along with the order of the amendment, the auditor's article is at the end, but it is entirely up to you as chair.
Is Mayor Pilon, is Mayor Pilon here?
One moment. Yes, that is correct. I am letting him in from the waiting room. He should be in just a moment.
Okay. And then is before auditor, I guess, do we have Chief Cunningham? Is he here?
Yes, Chief Cunningham, Deputy Chief Seitz, and Mr. Fresky are all in, ready to testify.
And they're still on 5A.
That is correct.
Okay. Sorry, my audio was not working.
All right, now apparently it is.
Yeah, sorry about that, I apologize. Okay. Good morning, Chair Murphy, members of the commission, John Cunningham, the fire chief in Brooklyn Park, and also president of Minnesota State Fire Chiefs Association. I'm just here to talk briefly about the Brooklyn Park Relief Association. And the language that's before you for consideration. Last year, as part of our operational and strategic planning, the city is moving towards a full-time department, and with the cooperation support of our relief association, we are working towards dissolution. As of the end of last year we
have any coming up.
Excuse me, Mr. Cunningham. Yeah. Okay, proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair. As of the end of last year, we actually no longer have any volunteer firefighters active on our department. So we've been working with Ms. Lincheski's office, Representative Nelson Hoffman, and we really appreciate the support on bringing this bill forward to take care of all of our volunteer firefighters that have proudly served the city of Brooklyn Park and the community. For many years. This bill will take care of our volunteer firefighters and their pension program as outlined, and certainly we understand that this is a broader issue across the state, and certainly appreciate the support on moving this bill forward and supporting the firefighters that have provided their service to Brooklyn Park. So I would certainly stand for any questions, and I appreciate the time on being able to testify today.
Thank you, Ms. Chief John Cunningham. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Fresky? Michael Fresky?
Yes, good morning, Chair and Commission. My name is Michael Fresky. I am the employment attorney for the City of Brooklyn Park. Obviously, you just spoke to Chief Cunningham, and I'm here as well as Chief Cunningham and Deputy Chief Seitz, who is the president of our relief association, in support of this legislation. Any questions anyone may have, as Chief Cunningham mentioned, this has been a long process, and the goal for Brooklyn Park was to, of course, treat all current members of the relief association fairly and equitably, and this bill does that, and so we are here in support of that and to answer any questions anyone may have. Thank you.
Thank you. See, no questions.
Chair Murphy?
Yes.
We also have Deputy Chief Seitz to testify.
Deputy Chief Seitz.
Good morning, Chairman.
There you are.
Good morning. My name is Todd Seitz. I'm the deputy chief and also the president of relief. And I'm just here for, I'd like to thank you and the board for taking this up and looking for support on this bill. And I'm here to answer any questions anybody might have.
All right. I don't see any questions, but maybe. All right. Mayor Pilon?
Madam Chair, he is entering it. He is still connecting at the moment.
Okay. Chief Kohner? Oh, there he is.
He is entering and he is still connecting at the moment. Okay. Chief Kohner? Oh, there he is. He is entering and he is still connecting at the moment.
Somebody needs to mute their phone. We're hearing the Facebook feed. So Mayor Pilon is here.
Yes. Yep.
Mayor Pilon is here. And
Mayor Pilon, please begin.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, we can.
Thank the commission for taking up this bill, this legislation. And I want to say we've been working with our partners in Ramsey on this. We appreciate the support we've had. I think we've got the everything in place and are anxious to proceed. After all these years of partnership with the Ramsey Fire Department, at the growth of our cities has given us the opportunity both to for us to be independent of the Ramsey Fire Department. And I think everything in this legislative bill addresses what we need to separate the Relief Association and start our own association. So we are grateful for the opportunity, and I am available for any questions, should there be any as well.
Thank you, Mayor Pilon. Chief Kohner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Matt Kohner, Fire Chief for the Ramsey Fire Department. Testifying on Article 14, Ramsey Volunteer Firefighters Relief Association and the Division of the Relief Association. 12 years ago, the City of Ramsey entered into a contract with the City of Nowthen to provide fire service for the community of Nowthen, with the intent to prepare Nowthen to create their own fire department. Nowthen is now at a place they feel comfortable moving forward with their own fire department. They have obtained facilities, apparatus, and staff. The passing of this bill is important to the firefighters to ensure that their years of service and their pension accounts transfer from the Ramsey Fire Department to the Nowthen Fire Department. The cities of Ramsey and Nowthen have worked together to draft this bill and are in support of how it is written. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much. It's very welcome, your testimony. All right. Auditor, the next person on the agenda is Auditor Blaha. Took a while, but we got here. Welcome to the commission, Auditor Blaha and Ms. Rose Hennessy. Alan.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Murphy and members of the commission. I appreciate having the chance to be your finale of this section today. As you said, I am your state auditor, Julie Blaha. I'm very happy to be speaking to you today. I know how much effort it took for you all to get this here, and really appreciate the work you all did, and the staff, of course, of the LCPR. On behalf of the auditors, Volunteer Fire Relief Association Working Group, we deeply appreciate being included, even though we just barely missed the chance to have it heard before we instituted COVID changes. Basically, our language is the result of the unanimous work of our group. We worked last fall and winter to address a number of technical changes to relief associations. And as always, we only forward items to you that have received unanimous support from our members. Our members come from across the state. They are the people who run relief associations and the people who benefit from them. We have people from local government, we have fire chiefs, we have firefighters, we have a very large group of people that come together to represent all aspects of this. Just want to remind people that our working group is different from the dissolution working group. Ours is the one that's ongoing, goes on every year, and sometimes there's some confusion there. Now we proposed 8 8 items this year, 7 got in. We'll be back next year with that last one. Since time is short, I don't necessarily want to go section by section. I think that the summary prepared by staff is really good, really complete and clear. And just want to thank you. Some of these changes may seem small. For instance, there's one part we simply change government auditing standards to auditing standards. Huge change, though, for somebody who's getting an audit that does not need to be up at government accounting standards. Just that one word drop will save a lot of money for that relief association. So myself and also our pension division director, Rose Hennessy Allen, are here to answer any questions. And again, thank you for all your work, and also offer a special thank you to my working group who dug into the gritty details to keep ensuring that our firefighters are recognized for the work they do. Thank you.
And I want to thank you and your office and the people that have staffed and previous auditors too, because you've always opened your door and hosted the working groups. And that's been a traditional thing and a very important thing, because it builds trust with the state building trust with the commission. And you usually come through with 100%, but you just missed one. As you said, you just missed one today, but you will be back.
We
and and Ms. Hennessy has been a regular groupie for many years now, not missing a minute of the Pension Commission meetings, and we appreciate all the contributions that are made by your department.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any additional testifiers that are waiting to be recognized?
Madam Chair, not that I know about.
Okay. So then the 5A amendment should be considered for additional questions. Are there any questions about the 5A amendment that has those changes that were mentioned, and so it doesn't have any cost effects, and so the amendment can go on the bill and the bill can proceed? Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not quest, I want to express my appreciation to everybody that worked on this. It's been a passionate subject for me because, as I expressed a few years ago, I was a volunteer firefighter, and understand the commitment that people make when they are volunteering for what is supposed to be a part-time job, and a lot of times becomes almost a full-time commitment. So the group I'm working on this, I'm just so appreciative, because it's going to be nice to be able to vote on this before I leave and approve something that puts in place a orderly transition that everybody can agree to. So just my thanks to everybody that that took the time to make this work. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. And Ms. Lencheski and Ms. Dieselin, Mr. Burkett, this moves us far down the path for solving a lot of bills that come to the Pension Commission on behalf of firefighters and professional firefighters and volunteer firefighters. But we still have a group of people that are in the state plan that has conversation to continue, so that they can come up with solutions. And I expect that we will work with PERA, the state plan people, and we will conclude review of the firefighting organizations that are part of PERA and bring them along down the path by the end of the year. So one of our interim projects will be to work with the firefighters that are in the state plan and see what their issues are and bring them to the point that the volunteer and the transitional people are making today.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Dieslin.
If there are questions for PERA, Mr. Anderson and Ms. Strange are available to answer questions.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I would like to hear from them on the provisions that were removed from the bill. There might be some questions, and it would be good for the record to know what was taken out of this non-controversial bill.
Thank you, Senator Rosen. Mr. Anderson, Ms. Strange. Oh, Ms. Strange. Ms. Stringy.
Madam Chair, I'm trying to get her audio unmuted. Okay. There we go. She should be available now.
Lisa, are you able to get Doug unmuted as well?
Mr. Anderson?
Let me try. It appears as though Mr. Anderson may be having some technical difficulties. I have lost him, but Ms. Strange is available.
Ms. Strange.
Madam Chair, can you repeat the question and I'd be happy to answer.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Strange, I just wanted to know what was agreed upon to be removed from this bill to truly make it non-controversial. And I know you have some work that needs to be done, especially, well, if you could just go through those provisions that were removed at your request.
Ms. Strange.
One second.
No, we can hear you now.
Okay. Madam Chair. Amy Strini with PERA. So we removed two provisions that became controversial after the March 11th meeting. The first provision was the withdrawal of the privatized liability. So in our privatization bill, we had proposed that individuals or entities that are leaving the PERA plan would be responsible for their portion of the unfunded liability. We have since heard concerns from nursing homes and hospitals about the impact that may have on privatization. And while that does not change our board's view of the proposal, we do want to work with those individuals that have concerns to address that situation. And we look forward to bringing that to the commission next session. And then the last provision that we were made aware of that were concerns were our disability change that impacted police and fire members over the age of 55 with less than 20 years of service. And we appreciate the opportunity again to work with those stakeholders. Our board position hasn't changed with that, but we do recognize that we want to take the opportunity to work with those members.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strange. Senator Rosen, thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no further hands.
Madam Chair, is there a motion? Do you need a motion to amend
please, the... Please. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the 5A amendment.
Okay. Is there any further discussion by anyone on the commission?
Madam Chair, I see a hand from Senator Senjum.
Senator Senjum?
He needs to unmute himself.
Senator Senjum, it looks like you're...
I'm muted. I should be all right. No.
You're always all right, Senator Senjum.
At the end of the 2018 session, we all kind of stood on our chairs and clapped because we had a pension program that was moving towards fully funding, most of our funds at least, somewhere in the, I don't know, the mid 200, 2040 range. Is anything that we have done here today affect that trajectory with respect to a fully funded fund, either closing that up or lengthening that out?
Ms. Lencheski.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. Senator Senjum, my understanding from talking with the Executive Director of the State Board of Investment, the first provision in the DE will save significant dollars by way of reduced administrative costs. They are already invested in some of these categories of investments, but at a more expensive level in that it costs them more to do it. The additional categories as well will mean reduced costs. Mr. Perry was strident in his belief that this will help right now because of the really kind of poor performance because of the pandemic.
Thank you very much.
That's good news.
Madam Chair?
Ms. Deeslin, I see that you have Mr. Anderson with us.
That is correct. Mr. Anderson is here.
Mr. Anderson, we are on, the motion is on the floor, but if you have some comments to make, we would like to hear them about the Amendment 5A.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just had some technical difficulties in the last few minutes. No, I don't have anything more to add about Amendment 5A. Thank you for thank you for asking.
But we heard your you heard our dialogue about the people that are in the PARA plan, right?
Madam Chair, I heard the start of your discussion and then I lost the feed. So I think I heard the good part of it.
Yeah. And we're going to work with you over the summer and in the interim to continue discussion on the two issues that are not in the bill. Senator Rosen?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I do know we have a motion on the table, but I just realized that that piece for the retiring either legislatures or people, state workers, this is specifically what's brought to my attention is like the legislators that have been around. And it was something that was supposed to be... I'm gonna mess this up, but something that was supposed to be fixed and we haven't fixed it. And if Ms. Lencheski could help me out here, and I thought it was in the bill, and apparently it's not in the bill because MSRS has some issues with it. Is that correct?
That's correct, Ms. Rose or Senator Rosen.
Ms. Lencheski, could you please tell me what the problem is and why did we not get that fixed?
Ms. Lencheski.
Thank you, Chair Murphy and Senator Rosen. You are correct that it is not included in the DE or the 5A. It is your bill, the bill that you introduced, SF 4067. Aaron Leonard, the Executive Director of MSRS, I see, is in the meeting and could probably speak to it. So the issue there was that there is a cost associated with that to MSRS, and so the Chair Murphy, I believe, because there is likely to be some controversy related to incurring more costs, it was not included. But I'll let Aaron Leonard speak to that.
Ms. Leonard, welcome. Ms. Aaron Leonard? I see her, but I don't know if she hears.
Madam Chair, it appears that there may be some technical difficulties on her end. I've done everything I can do.
She's smiling now. Ms. Leonard, can you hear?
Ms. Leonard, please make sure that your microphone on your computer is enabled.
Ms. Leonard? Well, Senator...
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Linchescu, could you maybe perhaps give us a reason why there is a cost to this and what the discussion has been with MSRS. I know this is critical for this pension bill, and I was unaware that it was not included. I'm sorry. I should have followed it, but.
Madam Chair and members, I think my audio is working now. If you can
hear me. It is, Ms. Leonard. Will you? The question, did you hear the question?
I believe so. So I think the concern, Madam Chair and members, is the unclassified extension for the pre-2016 retirement factors for retirees. And it was introduced in Senate File 4067. And I have been talking to Representative Murphy and staff about the legislation. And there is an amendment that could potentially limit the cost to the general plan, but the way it is drafted, there is a cost to the general plan of approximately $1.3 million per year because of the nature of the unclassified plan benefits. So when an individual receives benefits in the unclassified plan, they are transferred to our general plan, and our general plan underwrites those annuity costs. So we estimate that approximately 350 individuals that we have contacted over the last several years could potentially be impacted of the 3,300 members that are currently in the plan. So when our actuaries made this estimate for us, they assumed that 57 retirees each year would meet the criteria with an average additional benefit of $23,000 per retiree, which gets to the $1.3 million per year.
Senator Rosen?
Yes, Madam Chair. So we didn't do anything about the people that are retiring, this summer. I know one of our staffs, at the front desk on the Senate floor is going to be affected by this. And so she's basically one of the 57 that's going to be out $23,000. Is that correct, Ms. Leonard?
So if the individuals, Madam Chair and members, if the individuals retire this summer, they will get the $23,000 more over their lifetime in retirement. If they retire after July 1, they will not. This provision was added in 2017, giving a three-year extension to the pre-2016 factors with it in mind, where people needed some time to plan. So we have been communicating with them over the last 3 to 4 years about this sunset provision.
So, Madam Chair.
Sarah Rosen.
So, Madam Chair, if they retire on June 30th, they're okay for the extra $23,000. But if they retire on July 2nd, they're out $23,000 per year. Is that correct, Ms. Leonard?
Madam Chair and members, it's an average of $23,000, so each individual retiree amount is going to be different for their lifetime depending on their age, their account balance, and because that is how the benefit is calculated. We take the account balance at the time and apply a factor based on their life expectancy. So dependent upon their age and that account balance, the average impact is $23,000 over their lifetime. So it's not an annual amount, it's $23,000 over their lifetime, but that's payable forever. So that's why it costs $23,000 per retiree. Did that answer your question?
Sarah Rosen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if we even, if this is something that we can add a one-year extension and look at it again next year. And I know Ms. Lincheski has her hand up.
Ms. Lincheski.
Chair Murphy, Senator Rosen, we have been working with Ms. Leonard at MSRS to come up with something that would sort of limit the financial impact on MSRS. I just sent to you a revised bill, and if and also to Lisa, if you'd like, we can share that with the commission, and you could all have a look at that. It would extend it for 1 year, but it sort of freezes the group that can take advantage of it. I believe the staff person you mentioned would be a beneficiary of this change and have then a year to make a decision. That is available, and we can send it to the commission if you'd like to have a look at that.
Madam Chair.
And Senator Rosen.
Yes, Madam Chair. I would absolutely like to take a look at that. And fortunately, I know we're getting fast approaching the end of our time, but I definitely would like to take a look at this.
Lisa, I sent it to you. Could you please forward it to the commission? You're on mute.
And Ms.
I apologize. I am in, you should have the amendment in just a moment. It is coded 3A. I will also post it on the website.
Ms. Leonard, Ms. Senator Rosen, Ms. Leonard, when we were talking about this on Friday, you said that Ms. Leonard, you said the one of the ways that it was written incorrectly was that, I don't know if that's what we're talking about now, but we were expanding the number if by the 1 year, when we talked about the 1 year application for this amendment, for a amendment, you said that the language actually expanded the number of people that would be eligible to join. And that at that point, I said, then this is getting much too complicated for now. We shouldn't consider it. Could you explain what you meant by that to me? How we were expanding the numbers of people that could then apply.
Yes, Madam Chair and members. So the the way that the language is written, excuse me, the way that the language is written, individuals that qualify for these retirement factors that existed prior to 2016 are either 63 years old or have 26 years of service. So the way the original language was written, if we extend it one more year, more people will get one more year of service to get 26 years of service credit, and more people will get closer to age 63. So rather than expand just having our current population of about 352 people, it would expand it depending on individuals who are aging or getting more service. So over the weekend and on Monday, Tuesday, I worked with Pinch Commission staff on refining that language so that the population that exists today would be the only population that would be eligible for the extension if it were to be one more year.
Senator Rosen?
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Murphy. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Murphy, for working on that. I think I would like to have a discussion about this 3A amendment. Hopefully everybody has that in front of them. and offer this 3A amendment, because I don't think we're quite ready to have all these early retirements as of June 30th, especially with what we know is, I certainly, if I was in that situation, I certainly would retire on June 30th, even if I was ready or not, just to make sure that I was able to get that extension. So hopefully we can have this discussion, Madam Chair. Like I said, I know we're running out of time, but this is a very important piece, I believe.
Are any
Madam Chair?
Does any commissioners want to talk?
Madam Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Followed by Representative Pappas.
I agree with what I think I agree. I haven't been able to get up the A3 amendment on my computer, but the I know the discussion, what the piece that we're talking about here. But Madam Chair, can we first vote on the putting the firefighter piece on the bill, and then this would be another amendment to the bill, or do we have to do this as part of this amendment? I guess is the question I've got. We're at the point we were going to vote the firefighters piece on.
Mr. Burkett, do you have an opinion?
Madam Chair, I believe the 5A amendment is on the floor. We can take a vote on that and then do the 3A amendment.
Would that be all right, Ms. Senator Rosen?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. All in favor of adoption of the 5A amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Excuse me, Chair Murphy, I believe we need to do this by a roll call because it's substantive. Sorry.
Thank you for that reminder. Ms. Deason, will you call the roll, please? On the 5A amendment, adoption of the 5A amendment.
Members, please unmute your microphones. Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Herb. Representative Herb.
Yes.
Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Yes.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Representative Vogel.
Aye.
Senator James.
Yes.
Senator Frentz.
Yes.
Senator Jasinski.
Yes.
Senator Limmer. Senator Limmer. Chair Murphy, I'm working to unmute his audio. Chair Murphy, I am unable to unmute his audio. It looks as though I got him. Senator Limmer.
Yes.
Senator Limmer, we are taking a roll call vote on the 5A amendment.
Oh, I was tied up. Could you tell me what the amendment is?
I apologize. That is the amendment containing the firefighter provisions.
Oh, okay. Aye.
Thank you. Senator Pappas.
Aye.
Senator Rosen.
Aye.
Senator Senjum.
Aye.
Members, with the conclusion of the roll call, you may mute your audio again. That is 14 ayes and 0 nays.
The 5A amendment has been adopted to the DC amendment. Sarah Rosen.
No. Thank you, Madam Chair.
We're on Representative Nelson, right? Sarah Rosen, set it up again, please.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to clarify with this 3A amendment, a one-year extension. Is the fiscal cost for this extension, Ms. Leonard, still $1.3 million? Unmute.
Oh. Madam Chair, one moment. She may have left the meeting. I will put her back in if I'm able to do so.
She's still on my screen.
Okay.
Ms. Leonard?
All right.
Madam Chair, I'm working on it. Ms. Leonard, are you able to unmute yourself? I don't seem to be able to do that from my end. Oh, there it goes. Ms. Leonard should be unmuted now.
Madam Chair, members, could you repeat the question? I apologize. I'm actually using two computers to allow Facebook and our internet, so I'm dual technical computing here.
Yes. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Leonard, just wondering with this 3A amendment, what is the fiscal cost? Is it still the $1.5 million for this one-year extension?
Madam Chair, members, yes, it is a $1.3 million cost. Year of extension, limiting to 1 year will, the way that the current bill written was a 5 year period, so that was about $6.5 million, whereas 1 year is $1.3 million.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, now I understand. And unfortunately, this would send it to finance, it would send it to a general fund appropriation. Is that correct, Ms. Leonard?
Madam Chair, members, it would not necessarily appropriation. The way that the plan is currently, it is a plan that is currently set up. This cost would be underwritten by the general plan, so it would be absorbed by the general plan for the class of benefits.
Well, Madam Chair and members, I think that's still something we need to consider. Then, if that's something that MSRS, Madam Chair, I guess we should take a vote, and I'd like to offer the 3A amendment. I know this would send it to finance, probably.
Senator Pappas, you indicated you wanted to speak on 3A. Oh. Representative O'Driscoll?
Oh, sorry. That was from before.
Oh. Senator Pappas, I heard you say you did not have a question.
I do not have a question.
That was from before. Okay.
My hand was raised from before.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Lanteschi.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. And Senator Rosen, we can check into this further, but as a rule, if there is an actuarial cost to one of the plans with something that we're doing here in the commission and in the legislature, that is not considered something that has an impact, that's a fiscal impact that requires it then to go on to the Finance Committee and that sort of thing. So most of the things that we do here in the Pension Commission to impact the plans do have some sort of actuarial impact on the plans, and this would be one of those. So we can confirm that with the people who are experts on this question, but that is my understanding.
Okay. Madam Chair, then?
Ms. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I am going to make a motion to move the H309-03-3A amendment, please.
And Madam Chair,
is there any further
Madam Chair, excuse me. This will require a roll call vote as well.
No.
So, Madam Chair, I've had my hand up for about 20 minutes, and we've been skipping over me. And I really would like to, before we get any further along,
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I respect very much what Senator Rosen is doing, and I've given this some thought while the discussion's been going on. I tend to think that the commission probably is in agreement that we don't want to lose these 50 or 60 people right at the end of June on short notice, given everything that we've got, their longevity, their experience. I also understand from when we did this in 2017, that many of these people were in House and Senate research staff, seasoned people who know what's going on. I think it would be very difficult for us to have those people walk out or make a decision because of a lot of exceptions that we've done, and I see this as being one. My question would be to Ms. Leonard, and I'll just put it out there, and maybe others can chime in. And I have not been able to get the 3A amendment. I apologize. We're working obviously under some different conditions these days. But my hope is that the 3A amendment would actually state that those currently eligible would remain eligible, and it would be written in such a way as to not widen the base of people who would become eligible under that provision. In other words, we'd hold the status quo, and I think that resolves our fiscal issue. And if that is acceptable to the members, perhaps what we could do is use that as our genesis of what we're looking at doing, and then perhaps with the endorsement of the commission, agree to put that on in one of the committees and amend it in the other body to get like language on that, if that is the only provision that would be the holdup. So I think people know what we're striving to do. Madam Chair, I realize you gave a lot, but I've kind of been accumulating this the last 20 minutes this conversation has been going on. I guess at this time I'd ask for reaction and
I have the advantages that in that I was thinking about this on Friday. But I've been thinking about it for a long time, is that we tend to, if we don't do something like this, continuation kind of thing, then we get individuals that come before us, and sometimes they're successful and sometimes they're not. But one of the problems, I think that this is serious enough that we're voting on it here, and we're taking the time to discuss it here, but I don't have the amendment in front of me.
Madam Chair.
And I think that one of the problems that we have to solve, and I've said it before at the commission meetings, is that we have no way of paying for this except what Ms. Leonard was talking about. The general plan pays for it. And the plan shouldn't have to pay for something, a legislative decision like this, because we are the ones that gain. We should have pensions in the targets. And when we get a proposed budget from MMB and from the governor, pensions should have a line item, and the amount of money for pensions should cover decisions that we make that could cost the plan. The people that are already in the plans should not have to pay for the costs of additional people getting a subsidy. And so, as much as I want this for our people, I don't think I can vote for this at this time, because nobody ever makes the point from the end of the time that the commission meets to the next time that the governor's recommendations come out and the budget comes out, nobody else makes the point of let us get pensions as a line item in the real world. And the part that Aaron Leonard talked about is that the number of people that can be expanded by even the one year extension causes me to pause. And I will say no more. Are we ready to vote?
Madam Chair?
Ms. Dieselin.
I did resend the amendment and also included a link to the amendment online. It is also posted on both the House and Senate calendars on our agenda.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair.
Sarah Rosen.
I would like an answer to Representative Driscoll's question by Ms. Leonard, please.
Ms. Leonard. Would you repeat the question, Representative O'Driscoll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Leonard, I'm wondering if there's a way that we can draft the bill or the amendment or a provision that would hold harmless this 55 or 60 individuals with and saying that if you were having a certain age or a certain year of service on this date or enactment of this bill, that you are preserved so we don't end up having additional people. I am very concerned about losing primarily nonpartisan staff in this difficult time that the state has. And we have made several exceptions along the way on the House and the Senate to deal with this COVID thing. This to me seems almost like a nothing burger to coin a phrase here. Ms. Leonard.
Madam Chair and members, the way that the amendment is written would limit the population to not new individuals who reach that age and service wouldn't be added. So it does limit the group. It does apply to all people that fit their criteria. So it's not just necessarily active employees. It's also deferred people that meet the criteria. So if you wanted to further limit it, you could potentially just say that active employees as of June 30th, 2020, who meet this criteria would qualify for the extension. I understand the COVID situation. It's not an ideal time for people to retire for a number of reasons. So that would limit it to the smallest population, but yet hold harmless individuals who may have decided to retire on June 30th, but then because of the current circumstances wouldn't necessarily they wouldn't want to leave their employer at this time. So,
Madam Chair, follow up, please.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Leonard, so my assumption is those who are not active maybe are retired already or have left state employment or are doing other things. And should they choose to make that decision before June 30th, they could, regardless. I guess where I'm going with this is the 55 to 60 people who have stayed in employment with the state, I'm good at holding those people harmless. There is no fiscal impact if we keep it to the active working group who meets that criteria on or before June 30th of 2020 as an example date. Am I correct on that?
Madam Chair and members, there is probably a very slight impact on the general plan. It's hard to know. I didn't do that specific calculation, but it would reduce it quite a bit from the $1.3 million. And if they retired on June 30th, the plan is absorbing that cost anyway. So it's a bit of a wash, but it would really limit the number of people that would fit the criteria.
Madam Chair, follow up again, please.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Leonard, in your experience in dealing with the large volume of potential retirees that you have, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like this is maybe a rounding error if we do it this way. The fund is able to handle this. You said substantially less. That's a term that you don't have a dollar amount to. Could you comment as to whether you have a comfort level with what I'm proposing, the idea of limiting it to those active workers with a June 30th of 2020 date would be eligible for another year given the circumstances that we have. And again, I realize I'm asking a pointed question of you, but I would like a direct answer if we can, given the circumstances and the timetable that we are looking at.
Ms. Leonard.
Madam Chair and members, I can't necessarily fully support it because my board hasn't taken a position. I do, however, believe that based on the current circumstances, there's a reasonable argument to be made that the state benefits from these individuals continuing to work past this June 30th date. And by limiting the population, I think that the plan is a multi-billion dollar plan, and $1 million is a lot of money. But if you cut it by 50% or more with this limiting of the group, the plan can absorb the costs. We've done some projections. We're still in pretty good shape, all things considered, with the market. And so I would support limiting the group as much as possible. And I think what you're discussing would do that. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but hopefully I provided some context.
Madam Chair.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Yes, Ms. Leonard, I think you did. And I would ask Senator Rosen if she is comfortable with that and maybe would look at backing off, withdrawing the amendment and trying to get language crafted that we might be able to, again, given the times constraints that we have, if the commission is amenable to this, that we could add it in one of the other committees as it comes through in the House and or the Senate, or amend it on the appropriate floor of the accompanying body to get the language the same. I think this solves the problem, keeps us whole. So again, you take it in the order that you want. If you want to ask Senator Rosen, if you want to ask members if they're okay with that idea, and if we're okay with moving that type of a provision with the endorsement of the commission to the respective chambers to take that amendment. Madam Chair, thank you.
Does any other representatives want to talk? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And while I could get my head around a 1 year extension of this, if my memory serves me right, this provision that we put in here was a part of the consolidation plan, or the plan we had to solidify the fundings of these pensions. And we've extended it once or twice before. If we keep extending it, we basically are undermining what we did in the past to try and make sure we shore up our pension plans. And so I think we need to look at this as a way, because I can get around doing it for the 1 year and looking at it and coming back with the suggestions that Representative O'Driscoll had. But we need to, if we just keep extending this every year, we're extending it another year for XYZ employee that doesn't want to retire but would lose out this money if they don't, we are basically undermining what we did in the past to try and shore up these plans. And then putting it again, it, from my understanding, it's a cost to the plan, not to our general fund. So if we do this year, it's not going to add cost to this bill, but it'll add cost to the pension plan. And therefore, at some point in the future, we may need to have to come up with money to bail that fund out again. And I don't know if we want to do that. So I think we need to look at this carefully.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Then we're back to Senator St. John's question that he asked a few minutes ago. But Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually would like to hear from Ms. Lincheski. She's had her hand up.
Ms. Lincheski.
Thank you, Chair Murphy, and thank you, Senator Rosen. I just wanted to suggest that if you wanted to do it now, there would be a fairly easy way to verbally, I think, give you some language here that could then be added to what we're working on right now here in the Pension Commission. So there is this paragraph C in subdivision 1 of 352D.06. We would take this paragraph C and just basically copy it into a new paragraph D, and it would just simply state that for anyone who retires after June 30th, 2020 and before July 1, 2021, and then the rest would all stay the same. So it would allow for this next year, people who satisfy the criteria, the 26 years and the six, and the age 63, or the age 63.
And Madam Chair?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am anxious for this discussion, but I think that is, I'm fully in line with what Representative O'Driscoll was talking about. These are unprecedented times with COVID-19, and I do believe we need to have one more year to take a look at this. And we'll have a better idea next year how to handle this going forward. But when time is ready to make that oral amendment, but I know there is some discussion that needs to be had.
Senator Pappas.
I don't think I have my hand up, but I've been in the chat room saying that I think with the, if this limitation works, that Ms. Lincheski has suggested, and if Ms. Leonard agrees that that would work to limit the cost to maybe half of the $1.3 million that the plans could absorb. I agree it's kind of kicking the can down the road, but these are unusual times, and it's not a good time to be kind of possibly forcing critical staff to be laid off, as we are expecting to have, you know, monthly special sessions. So I wouldn't want some, and I'm not sure who all is eligible for this. I'm sure there's some people we know and some people we don't know. So I would support that.
Okay, any further discussion? Mr. Burkett, does anybody want to, have they indicated to you that they want to talk?
No, Madam Chair, I don't see any more hands.
Then, Madam Chair?
Mayor Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Then I would like to amend the 3A amendment orally to Ms. Lincheski's wordage for anyone who retires after. Ms. Lincheski, take that over, please.
Ms. Lincheski.
Senator Rosen, Chair Murphy, thank you. I'm just suggesting that paragraph C in the statute would be copied into a new paragraph D with a change, so it would begin for any participant who retires on or after July 1, 2020 and before July 1, 2021, when the participant is at least age 63 or has had at least 26 years of service, the monthly amount of the annuity must be determined using the actuarial assumptions in effect for the general state employees retirement plan under section 356.215 on June 30th, 2016.
Madam Chair. I'd like
Senator
to move
Rosen.
That, I'd like to move that oral amendment to the D to the 3A amendment, please.
Ms. Leonard.
Madam
Chair. Do you have a response?
Madam Chair and members, I think that might work. I think that perhaps Ms. Lincheski needs to add a word like actively employed by the state of Minnesota somewhere in that new verbiage.
Okay, so, sorry.
Ms. Lincheski.
Chair Murphy, I think then what we would be, the change here, and I just lost my language here, sorry about this. So the change would focus in on for any participant who retires on or after July 1, 2020 and before July 1, 2021, if the participant was at least age 63 or had at least 26 years of service as of June 30th, 2020. And then go on from there with the rest. So that would keep the group where we have it, but they would now be allowed to retire over the next year.
Ms. Leonard.
Madam Chair and members, I think that works. I think the distinction is individuals who are currently eligible. So would that just apply to active employees, or would that include inactive as well, the way that you are describing it?
Ms. Lincheski.
So my thought is that if someone retires during the next year, that means they are currently now active and they're going to terminate because they're retiring during the next year. If that's a term of art that I'm using incorrectly, we can use some different terminology, but my thought is that if they retire the next year, they are now currently employed until they reach that retirement date.
Mr. Burkett, did you have your hand up? Oh, I saw your hands. Representative O'Driscoll, how do you understand that?
Madam Chair, I am good as long as we can contain the group to the people that we're talking about, and if that's what the oral amendment does, I support it, and I think that the commission should support it as well. It's the right thing to do. We can address it in the future, and I realize that we've done a lot of extensions and a lot of different things, and this is just one more of those things that I think falls in the category of the right thing to do. So that is my thoughts, Madam Chair, and I hope you as well can support it with the oral amendment.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am in agreement with the language that was brought forward by Ms. Lincheski, and I do agree with the comments from Representative Driscoll, and I hope there can be support across the Pension Commission to take a look at this next year, but we need to do this year.
Ms. Leonard.
Madam Chair and members, when I think that the distinction is when Ms. Lincheski says retires, she means that they are leaving employment and retiring. When MSRS says retires, that's how we identify when a person collects their benefits. So an individual could leave service and leave state service and start collecting their benefit many years later. So we consider in our definitions in statute, retirement is when they start collecting their benefit, not when they leave their employer. So that I think that's where we're getting into some details about language.
Ms. Lincheski, is that?
Thank you, Chair Murphy. I think if we then just say for any participant who terminates employment on or after, and then the dates that I mentioned, which would put us out another year.
Ms. Leonard.
Madam Chair, members, yes, I think that would work to clarify exactly that.
Madam Chair.
Who said that?
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to the extent, I mean, this bill is scheduled for a hearing in the, at least on the House side, in the Government Operations tomorrow, Government Operations Committee tomorrow. So the language could, if it turns out, the language could be reviewed later today as well. And if there are any issues, we could correct them, I think, in the committee tomorrow, which is kind of what Representative O'Driscoll suggested earlier.
Yes. Senator Rosen, where is this bill going tomorrow?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am supposed to be caucusing with this right now. We go on the floor at 11 o'clock and state government with Senator Kiffmeyer at 1 or at 15 minutes after the end of session. And it's to be on the floor tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay. And then it comes to us?
Yeah.
Yes. All right, you have those changes, Ms. Lincheski?
Yes, Chair Murphy, we do.
And will you check with and come to an agreement at the whole thing when you're ready? We understand the dialogue that's taken place, and it is probably time that we vote on the amendment to the amendment.
Madam Chair, are you ready for the roll call?
Yes.
Members, We are voting on Amendment H3903-3A as amended with an oral amendment. Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, we voted on the oral amendment. We've talked about it, but we voted on it to put it into the amendment.
Representative Nelson, I believe that we can include that into the motion to move the amendment as incorporating the oral amendment.
Okay, sounds good. Just want to make sure we follow procedure and it doesn't come back and bite us later.
Representative Nelson, that is correct. I believe that that motion is now on the record.
Okay, thank you.
So proceeding with the roll call, Representative Murphy.
Proceed.
Representative Murphy on the motion.
Proceed with the roll call.
I am proceeding with the roll call. You are first on the list. So if you would respond to the motion, aye or nay.
I want to vote at the end.
All right, I will come back to you. Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Herr.
Yes.
Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Yes.
Representative Richardson.
I'm
sorry, Representative Richardson, can you repeat that? Representative Richard, I am having trouble hearing you. Could you repeat your response to the motion?
Yes.
Thank you. Representative Vogel.
Yes.
Senator Deans.
Yes.
Senator Frantz.
Yes.
Senator Jasinski.
Yes.
Senator Limmer.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
Yes.
Senator Rosen.
Yes.
Senator Senjum.
Yes.
Representative Murphy.
Yes.
Right, that is 14 ayes and 0 nays.
Members, the amendment prevailed. The amendment with the oral amendment prevails and is added to the delete everything amendment. Is there any other discussion on the bill as a total?
Chair Murphy, we will need to take 3 votes to pass the bill out. We need to take the vote on the delete everything amendment, DE1 as amended, then a vote to authorize staff to make technical corrections as necessary, and then a vote to approve House File 3903, Senate File 3808 as amended to be adopted as the 2020 pension and retirement bill.
Yes.
The,
so we're at the top of page 5, right?
That is correct.
Members, House File 3903, DE1, as amended, is now before us. I move Amendment H3903, DE1, as amended. Ms. Dieslin, will you take the roll?
Chair Murphy, would you like to vote last on this one as well, or first?
Aye.
Thank you. Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Herr.
Yes.
Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Yes.
Representative Vogel.
Yes.
Senator Deans.
Yes.
Senator Frantz.
Yes.
Senator Jasinski.
Yes.
Senator Limmer.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
Senator Pappas.
Senator Pappas?
All right, yes.
Thank you. Senator Rosen?
Yes.
Senator Senjum?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that is 14 ayes and 0 nays.
The motion prevails. On a, the amendment as amended is adopted. I authorize the staff to make any technical changes to House File 3903, Senate File 3808 as amended. Does anyone object to a voice vote on the motion?
No.
No.
The motion prevails.
Oh, yeah.
House File, I move the adoption of House File 3903, Senate File 3808 as amended, be adopted as the 2020 Pension and Retirement Bill. Ms. Deason, please take the roll.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Herr.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Yes.
Representative Vogel.
Aye.
Senator Deans.
Aye.
Senator Frentz.
Yes.
Senator Jasinski.
Yes.
Senator Limmer.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
Yes.
Senator Rosen.
Yes.
Senator Senjum.
Yes.
Right, Madam Chair, that is 14 ayes and 0 nays.
With a unanimous vote of the commissioners, the motion prevails. House File 3903, Senate File 3808, as amended and amended and amended, is adopted as the 2020 Pension and Retirement Bill. The bill is going to be on its way. In a gross, the amendments will be engrossed in, and the committees in the Senate and the House that have to hear it will prevail, and it should be on the floor in 2 days' time. Or it should be on the general register in 2 days' time. Thank you for your cooperation today. Thank you for your generosity of the time that you put in before March 17th. We never got to have that 17th meeting, and that created additional stress. But your work is very much appreciated, and you may be called back early in the summer. Depends on times. I've enjoyed working with you, and I appreciate your cooperation. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.